Simon Cowell, American Idol's notoriously critical judge, was wowed by vocalist Melinda Doolittle and felt she should have won the competition, even though the fans voted her number three. Melinda came into that contest with a music degree and years of professional backup singing experience. And unlike many of her fellow contestants, Melinda is more interested in substance than style. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. During the competition, many wondered if Melinda could be comfortable as the featured performer and get past her usual role as a support player. I wondered what advantages she feels she has because of that experience.
I think that actually as a backup singer, there is an element of having all different styles of music come into play. I would walk into the studio and, you know, the producer would be like, I want you to mix Toni Braxton with kind of this, what Mariah Carey would do on her background vocals with this. And so, I mean, it really made me kind of open up and figure out, you know, different styles and how my voice sounded in that style and what worked for it, what didn't work and all of that. So that actually has been something that I use on a daily basis. And then I think part of just being part of that band and being part of the background, the actual music that takes that artist to the next level, I know what I want to hear now as an artist. Like I can say, you know, oh, but I love it when the piano plays that one part and then the BGVs kind of followed with it. And then when the bass, you know, had that there, I think that comes from me being a part of the band for so long and being a part of that entire sound that now, when I go to sing a song, I know what I want to hear.
And you know how to articulate it.
Most of the time.
Yeah, but I'm thinking,
you might ask some
yeah.
people that I sing with, you know, and they're like, she's learning how to say what she wants. But a lot of the times I do know how to articulate it, or at least know how to like sing the chord to you and be like, it's not that, or I know it's a minor chord there that I just want to kind of take it into a little bit of a darker place. Maybe if we can diminish it, you know, anything like that. So I think that a lot of that comes from being a part of the band and being a part of that whole sound.
I was interested with the American Idol experience too. I've seen the show, but I haven't watched it a lot. And reading about you and learning about you, that you do have a music degree, that you do have this background, you do have an education. Do you know if that's common with the contestants? Are many of them musically educated?
At this point, there are a lot of contestants that have at least, you know, worked on recordings and done things professionally in music. Some that have CDs out and all of that. Not necessarily all of us have gotten degrees maybe in music, but a lot of the contestants at this point have had definitely some experience singing leading up to being on the show.
But I'm thinking a music education is very different.
Right. I mean, during my season, there were, I believe, three of us that had gone to school and studied music.
How many?
Out of the top 10, there were three of us that had studied music in school. So it was kind of cool to have people there, you know, that had also studied music and, you know, just the things that we could talk about that we studied in school, that we learned, things that we could use while we were on the show, or things that were kind of hindering us, you know, like we're thinking
too hard. What hindered you? You were thinking too
hard? Sometimes you think too hard, you know, you think about what you know about music and what you think you know about the music business, and you go to sing something because you think maybe America would like it if I did it this way. And that's not always the case. And so instead of thinking so hard, you have to get to the point where you're like, I just need to be me. And if they love it, awesome. If they don't, then that's okay, because I still have me out of all of this after the whole process is done.
I was, for myself, impressed with the variety of things that I saw you sing that didn't seem like you were thinking, what would America like? How does that work for people who don't see the show in terms of what you sing? Do you choose the pieces? Do they advise you on that? How did you do that?
Well, every week has a theme. So whether it's Country Week or Latin Week or, you know, Jazz Week, I mean, every single week has a theme. And in that theme, if you need help choosing a song, they will be helpful. They'll, you know, give you a CD of songs. Like, we had Bon Jovi Week, and I was like, help me out here. I need, you know, CDs of Bon Jovi songs. And they were able to do that. And the only catch is that once you choose your song, the publishing has to be cleared on it for you to even sing it. So you may be on stage singing your second or third choice.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because, you know, it took too long for the publishing to go through on this one. So, you know, I mean, so a lot of times you just have to make it look like it's your first choice to sing that song. And that's what you meant to do all
that's
along.
That's what life is, though.
Yes.
Pretending like it was your first choice,
like
no matter what happens.
Choice.
Oh, that's funny.
So that, I mean, that was definitely something that we dealt with the entire season.
Some home, got up this morning and all I had was gone. I feel like nowhere. Oh, my lonesome home. Well, I got up this morning and everything I had was gone.
Well, what were you listening to when you were growing up? What were your parents playing around
well,
the house?
It's funny because my parents have been divorced since before I was one. So I grew up in the household with my mother, who mainly listened to gospel and Christian contemporary music. But every time I would go visit my dad, then we would put on Motown, you know, Stevie Wonder and Diana Ross, and, you know, just kind of listen to some Aretha. And he introduced me to Michael Jackson and all of that. So I had very different, I would kind of sneak some of my dad's music into my mom's house so I could listen to it occasionally. But a lot of times with my mom, it was all gospel, you know, C.C. Winans and Mary Mary and Kirk Franklin and all of that, you know, kind of growing up and Christian contemporary too.
And did you enjoy all of it?
I love it all. I love music.
Someday I will be your guide. Hey, love.
I don't think there's any better way to express yourself than with music. I don't understand what it is about it, but I love it. And I love the expression that it takes on and how it affects people and all of that. So for me, I mean, you could be singing bluegrass and I would be so happy because I'm listening to the bass line over there. And then, you know, I'm listening to these tight harmonies of what the vocals are doing. And I mean, I just love music.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my favorite. is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little bit weak when you open it to speak? Are you smart?
Talk about your CD, how you put that together, because sometimes I know from other musicians I know, it's more challenging when you have such a broad range of things that you like. There's the challenge. And how do you do that? And how do you balance all those different things you like with a record producer who says we need to focus? So those are two different questions.
Right. Well, I will say this. There are a lot of different styles I like. Not all of them should I sing, though. I've learned that, you know, just kind of along the way, you know, there are some great songs out there that you don't want to hear my voice on. And there are other ones that just resonate with me. So for me, it was starting with picking the songs. I work with John Tita from Hi-Fi Recordings, and just we chose these songs, and he knew that I would be really excited about a Sammy Kahn song, because that would be, you know, I mean, just those melodies that make you want to sing like nobody's business, and the lush chords underneath and all of that. And then I'd be just as excited about Robert Johnson Blues. Like, I mean, he knew that about me. So when he brought songs to me, that's where he started. And so it was really easy for me to pick these songs and be like, this is what I want to do. And as soon as we got the producer, it was Mike Mangini, who had done the first two Joss Stone records and, you know, worked with Chaka Khan and Dionne Warwick. And I walk in with Mike, and I just say I like retro soul. I like live instruments. I like strings and horns and you know, some doo-wop girls in the background. That's what I love. And he was able to do that immediately. So it wasn't even a hard process. It was just like, this is what I love about music. How do we put it on a record?
My guest, Melinda Doolittle, on Dust My Broom, from her CD, Coming Back to You. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
I love live. I'm not a big fan of that canned sound, you know.
Well, it's obvious because you're talking about lush chords,
right,
and melody and strings and doo-wop girls.
And I'm hoping that it's making a comeback. I mean, especially, you know, coming out of the London area, you know, with singers like Adele and Duffy and Amy Winehouse that are using these live instruments and really, you know, kind of taking it somewhere and bringing that sound back. So I'm excited about it. I hope it catches on even more, though.
Well, don't you think people know the difference if they hear it?
I think people definitely know the difference. I don't know how you could not. There's just something rich and wonderful about live instruments, and I don't think you can manufacture that at all.
What did they tell you in school? Because you have such a natural, lovely sound, and something I was impressed with that we talked about a bit before we were on mic with you. I looked at your audition, and they were talking about that you didn't have this huge attitude that I'm the greatest singer in the world. You just came in and sang, which I found so refreshing because it was about the music. It wasn't about the attitude. It was obvious to me that you took, at least my inference from watching, was that you took the music very seriously, but you didn't take yourself very seriously, which I like to think is the point of this.
Right.
So someone like you walks into a music department, and you already have been listening to music a long time, singing lots of different things. What did they tell you? Did they tell you stylistic things, technical things?
I mean, they ended up kind of starting from scratch with me because, I don't know, maybe in high school when I would sing, it was just kind of like, okay, we'll just let her go do her thing. She already kind of knows what she's doing. But when I got to college, they were like, okay, so you've kind of skated by. So we need to start with basics for you. Mm-hmm. We want to start with how you're breathing and what's going on with that vibrato. Why is it so wide? And, you know, I mean, just we started from scratch for me. I remember my my first voice teacher at Belmont saying, you know, you could drive a Mack truck through that vibrato. So what do we want to do? What do you need to start listening to make it click that, you know, there's a different way to do this and you can still have wonderful vibrato, but rein it in. And so she definitely worked with me on that. And a lot of it was just breathing and having breath support there. So, I mean, I started from scratch, I feel like, in college, just trying to fill it out and feel, really realize what my voice could do.
Mm.
And how to control it. I didn't have the control when I mm-hmm. got to college. So learning how to kind of control it and rein it in when it needed to be, and how to sing softly if I needed to, because there was no, I could either like be really loud or have no sound come out whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so learning how to kind of finesse things and all of that came from being in college. And at Belmont, I was in a jazz group called Jasmine, and it was a vocal group. And that was my first time kind of learning how to just lay back and calm down when I sang and not attack a song, but be able to finesse it and all of that.
That must be a challenge too, more so for somebody who has big chops like you. I mean, a voice that's really powerful. I would think that it would be, like you say, I could tell how you talk about it. It's so much fun just to be able to do it. I know I'd feel that way. I'm like, I just want to get it out. So I would think the restraint, because you get that from a lot of instrumentalists, especially young instrumentalists,
right,
with lots of technique. It's hard for them not to do everything they can do every single time.
Right. I think definitely at the beginning it was a struggle for me, because I thought, you know, you got to show what you have. Each song, you got to show what you have. But once I started looking at songs like I was telling a story, it was very different for me. It kind of took on a different life of just, you know, I would read through the words and be like, well, how would I say this to somebody? I wouldn't yell it at them the entire time. I might yell right at this last part because I really want them to get it before I finish. But I, you know, I might be calm at the beginning of this, or I might take my time with it. I might, you know, just kind of lay back in it. So it's a lot easier for me now when I look at the songs and when I go to learn a song or to sing a song, to think about, well, how would I say this to somebody? You know, and so the restraint is actually relaxing for me and fun for me, because it's part of my story now.
Talk about the first jazz you heard. Do you remember?
My dad has always, he's always loved smooth jazz. His favorite is, if anyone's playing a saxophone, he is listening. He's buying their record. I remember, you know, he lives in the Chicago area, and we'd be walking down the street, or I'd land in the airport and someone would be playing saxophone with their jazz tracks in the background. Summertime was the song that I definitely remember. And in that moment, my dad walked up to him and he was like, I want to buy your CD. You know, is it $10? Fine. You know, and that was just my dad. He has so many jazz CDs and just loves the sound, and he's a drummer. So part of that definitely comes from that. But he's just a real lover of jazz music. So I remember him playing Nancy Wilson and watching my favorite show is The Cosby Show. And on that show, I feel like they really opened up our eyes to, like, Nancy Wilson was on the show and Dizzy. And, you know, just hearing that sound, but on a show where, you know, I'm looking up to this family and I want to know more about them and how to be like them. And they've got Nancy Wilson at their house singing Moody's, you know, I mean, it just was so amazing to be introduced to it that way. And I definitely credit them a lot for kind of getting me excited about the music.
When Sunny gets blue, her eyes get gray and cloudy, then the rain begins to fall. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter, love is gone, so what can matter? No sweet love of man comes to call. When Sunny gets blue, She breathes a sigh of sadness, like the wind that stirs the trees. Wind that sets the leaves to swaying, like some violins are playing weird and haunting melodies. People used to love to hear her laugh, see her smile. That's how she got her name. Since that sad affair, she's lost her smile, changed her style. Somehow she's not the same. But memories will fade, and pretty dreams will rise up where her other dream fell through. Hurry, new love, hurry, to kiss away each lonely tear, and hold her near when Sunny gets blue. Hurry, new lover, hurry here, to kiss away each lonely tear, and hold her near when Sunny.
Nancy Wilson on When Sunny Gets Blue. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Jazz Times, your resource for all things jazz. Visit them at jazztimes.com. For discography of the music played on our show and a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can email us at info@jazzinspired.com. To find out more about my CDs and performance schedule, and to sign up for our email newsletter, visit judycarmichael.com. A favorite singer of my guest, Melinda Doolittle, is Sarah Vaughan.
Sarah Vaughan, for me, I don't even know where to start with her. Just her voice, the lows for me is what I connected with. I have an extremely low voice. And to learn how to make that saucy and cool was exciting for me. And so Sarah Vaughan did that to me just effortlessly.
You left me a horse from Texas, a house with installments due, a letter with lots of X's, everything but you. You left me some beads from Boston, a bicycle built for two, a memory to get lost in, was so gay and so daring. I loved every breathtaking minute, for how could I know I was sharing a kiss without a future in it? You left me a dream to room with, a coffee pot from Peru, a knife and a fork to spoon with, everything but you. You left me a horse from Texas, a house with installments due, a letter with lots of X's, everything but you. Left me some beans from Boston, a bicycle built for two, a memory to get lost in, everything but you. Each day was so gay and so daring. I loved every breathtaking minute, for how could I know I was sharing a kiss without a future in it? You left me a dream to room with, a coffee pot from Peru, a knife and a fork to spoon with, everything, everything but you.
I've heard people that will sing low notes, and sometimes it's like you say, it's saucy and it's wonderful, and other times it's sort of lost because of the resonance of it is it doesn't come through. It's too low. I don't know right. how else to express it. How does one deal with that?
I mean, for me, I don't know how to say for anyone else because
but
for
how
me
do you
it's
do it?
So
yeah.
natural because my voice is automatically low. So that's where it wants to go. Mm. And my thing was just making sure that it was warm and not like this brash sound, you know, coming out. I learned, especially from listening to people like Sarah Vaughan, to just let it go, let it come out the way it does. And it would just be smooth and just kind of go with the song. You know, if you can just get into that song and then just let the note drop and then come back to it. I mean, she was so amazing at that. And so, when we were going to do the record, we had a song called Wonder Why, and Sarah Vaughan had done it, just with piano. And I was like, we have to have that on the record. And so my pianist came in. His name is Ray Angry, and he is the most jolly angry man you'll ever meet. Like, it's sweetest guy in the world. And he came in and got on a Fender Rhodes, and it was just he and I sitting there in the studio just running this song with all of these chords. And it was very surreal to me, because I'm like, I'm singing a Sarah Vaughan song, and this is going on my record. And it's actually now the last song on the record, and one of my favorites, because it's kind of come full circle for me.
I wonder why I'm not myself of late. Strangely great. I wonder why. I suppose some genius could explain just to let him try. I guess there is a simple explanation. I'm speaking of. It's simply that I went and fell. It's simply that I went and I fell in love.
Melinda Doolittle from her CD, Coming Back to You, on Wonder Why. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. It's lovely to hear you talk about it, and I'm getting to see you because we're on radio, so no one else can see your gestures. But the theme I'm getting from some of what you're saying is kind of letting it happen. People always say be yourself, and who knows what that means. Right. I mean, it's too general.
Right.
But you've specifically talked about relaxing into things. I loved how you talked about letting the note just go down and then it comes back up. It's really nice, though, but I think it's because I'm always thinking about singers that are listening to this or other people that just in their life are thinking, I'm having a conversation. I'm just going to let it just kind of go there and then come here instead of being nervous.
Right.
It's a really lovely way that you're putting it and how you were talking about even in telling your story, because people are always saying, tell your story. That's what people said to me when I started as an instrumentalist. They'd said, tell a story. And I'd say, what are you talking about? I don't have a story.
Right.
What story? So
exactly.
But you were saying, well, how would I say it to someone?
Right.
So, and that's the same way when you're as an instrumentalist. I've done that too. I've thought either about the lyrics or thought what this tune means to me. And I'm telling it to someone else the same way you're saying. So that's really lovely. And that you would key in on Sarah in that way as well. Well, Tony Bennett, there's an obvious one, because you got to meet Tony. I saw the video of that.
I panicked. I asked the producers, I was like, do you guys have oxygen tanks? Because, I mean, I could not believe that Tony Bennett was in the room and I was going to go sing for him, you know, and be 6 or 7 feet away from him.
What?
Singing.
That made you nervous? What?
Yeah. singing jazz to him, you know, just, you know, and then he was going to tell me what he thought about it.
Your own private masterclass.
Was so scary. And I remember that the song that I did was a Gershwin tune, I Got Rhythm. And I went to singing and it started off slow and then, you know, of course picked up at the chorus. And I went to get to the part where it picked up and I sang the first, you know, I got rhythm. And he did this clap on the offbeat right in my face and scared the living daylights out of me. And I jumped and I was like, I should still be singing right now. But he felt it and was there and ready to go with me. And it was the most surreal moment because I was like, Tony Bennett just clapped in my face. And
did you stop or did you keep singing?
The producers to this day still laugh at me because they said that, you know, they could see this process happen in my head so quickly.
But you kept singing.
I kept going, but I mean, I jumped and like panicked and then was like, I got music. Like, I mean, he just.
He responded.
He
didn't think about it. He
and
just
was
responded.
In the moment. And that's how he is.
I got rhythm. I got music. I got my gal. Who could ask for anything more? I got daisies in green pastures. I got my gal. Who could ask for anything more? Old man trouble, I don't mind him. You won't find him round my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams. I got rhythm. Who could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more? Woo! Man trouble, I don't mind him. He won't find me round my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams. I got rhythm, who could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more? Wait.
could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more? The battle of a band.
How do you find songs now? You talked about your producer bringing things to you, but what are you listening to every day? Still a big variety of things?
I listen to everything. I really do. I listen to the top 40 because I want to know what's going on in it, you know, every day. And I listen to Michael Bublé is one of my favorites. I love Adele, Diana Krall.
Talk about Diana Krall.
Well, there's a song in the set that I was doing at Feinstein's that is called Peel Me a Grape. And the first time I ever heard that song was in Nashville, Tennessee. This place used to be called the Rhythm Kitchen, and Diana Krall came, and I was sitting on the very front row at this table and right at her eyesight, and she started singing Peel Me a Grape, and I had never heard anything like it in my life. I was just in heaven. And I love, the thing I love about her is that with her voice, she can do what she does on the piano. And I think I'm jealous of that. Her brain works differently as a singer because she plays. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the coolest thing in the world. So when she does improv, it's like hearing the piano in a voice. And I've never really been able to experience that, but that was just the way she sang, and it was just effortless for her. And that moment, I was like, I will be singing Peel Me a Grape. I was in college, and it was in my senior recital right after that, because I was like, I'm singing that song. And I don't know. She's definitely very inspiring to me. I just love how cool and laid back she is and how she just lets it happen.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me and dine me. Don't try to fool me, bejew me, either amuse me or lose me. I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape. Pop me a cork, French me a fry, crack me a nut, bring a bowl full of bonbons, chill me some wine, keep standing by, just entertain me. Champagne me, show me you love me, kid love me, best way to cheer me. Cashmere me, I'm getting hungry. Here's how to be an agreeable chap. Love me and leave me in luxury's lap. Hop when I holler, skip when I snap. When I say do it, jump to it. Sent out for scotch, boil me a crab, cut me a rose, make my tea with the petals, just hang around, pick up the tab, never outthink me, just mink me, polar bear rug me, don't bug me, new thunder burn me, you heard me, I'm getting hungry, peel me a grape.
I know you're here at Feinstein's, which I love, and it's a smaller space, and definitely a smaller space than being in some arena or something like that, which you're comfortable with both. Which do you, how do you feel about each space?
I think, you know, there is definitely a time and a place to do an arena. I mean, it's fun, it's larger than life, and, you know, the energy from that crowd is wonderful, and I love it. However, one of my favorite places is a place like Feinstein's. I feel like that intimate place is where I'm supposed to be. I don't know what it is about being able to look everybody in the eye that excites me, and I get a whole different energy from that Feinstein's crowd than I ever have on any stage. So this is, it's new for me and so exciting because I feel like not only am I telling my story, but people are involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, doing a show and listening to people talk back and say, honey, I felt the same way, you know, and I had a lady say, I hear that right now, you know, and just the things that I can see it immediately that it resonates with people. And that's huge for me. And, you know, to get a chance to walk out in the audience and just, you know, kind of look people in the eye and be a part of it. That for me is heavenly. I can finesse a little more with the song when it's intimate and, just do things that I never imagined I'd be able to do on a stage. You know, just with my eyes, one thing that I could do with my eyes on one note can change an entire song. And it's exciting. It makes me sing differently. It makes me move differently. I love it.
It's a real compliment to you because I think a lot of people can't do both. Because I say that because I know people always say to me, they assume I'm like a smaller, they just say, oh, don't you like clubs better? And not necessarily. It's got to be the right club.
Yes, it does.
It has to be a club that has really the perfect, where it's a concert-ish attitude.
Right.
But they're close, like you're saying. But I feel a lot of, especially singers that I see, if they're capable of, if they have a big voice, if they have a strong voice, I'll say, and they can do that bigger arena, they don't know what to do with a small room. You know what I mean? They can sort of, because it is more, I mean, I feel that it is a very different energy with people looking right at you, and that's good, but it's also intimidating in a way, don't you think?
Oh, it can definitely be intimidating. My biggest thing was, you know, opening night, Michael Feinstein sitting there, and I can see him, and I'm like, okay, I can do this, you know? I can't get away from it. Might as well just love it and have a great time. And I had been talking to some people beforehand about singing, you know, a Gershwin tune. And they, you know, told me that Michael worked with the Gershwins. And I was like, whoa, I'm singing, you know, I Got Rhythm in front of Michael Feinstein, who knows them personally, you know. And that just... it was a very surreal moment for me and kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, it's continuing that tradition.
Right.
And nice that he's there. But that's nice. I think that it's lovely how you describe it because I know a big audience can, it is just a massive energy. You're not really seeing the individual people in the same way.
And I love their energy. I love big audiences. I think one of my favorite places to play is just in the Philadelphia area. There's something about their energy there. I mean, it's just a huge audience there. It's so exciting because it's just like that you feed off of them and you can't give enough. But at the same time, a place like Feinstein's gives me almost that same level of energy. And it's just, it may be different energy, but it's that same level for me. And it's exciting.
I love your energy, and I'm a big, big fan, and your excitement about the music and how you express it so beautifully, and I'm so glad we had time to do this and that you were able to do this, and I'm a big fan.
Oh, well, thank you. I love what you're doing. I really do.
Thank
you. I'm excited about with the kids, too.
Yeah, thanks.
I think it's great to get them young.
Oh, and they are. It's so much fun. I have so many people, especially with jazz, that say that jazz doesn't have a young audience, and my audiences keep getting younger, which I'm really excited about, and I do a lot of things in colleges, but the little kids are the ones, they really get it, because they're all dancing,
right,
and come up and hug you and things, and I'm thinking, it doesn't get better than this.
Oh, I love it.
That's great. I'll hook you in on some teaching things.
Thank you.
That'll be fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to vocalist Melinda Doolittle. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Heidoff. You can download podcasts of Jazz Inspired from iTunes or at talkshoe.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Mori on guitar. For a schedule of upcoming programs, to sign up for our email newsletter, or to find out how you can personally support Jazz Inspired, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can email us at info@jazzinspired.com. Special thanks to NOLA Recording Studios in New York City and our webmaster, Megan Lewis. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is made possible with generous support from our listeners and from Jazz Times, your resource for all things jazz. Visit them at jazztimes.com. And from Steinway & Sons and Sag Harbor Florist, visit sagharborflorist.net. Additional support is provided by the American Hotel in Sag Harbor, New York. Learn more at theamericanhotel.com. And the I Love Jazz Classic Jazz Festival in Brazil, featuring great musicians from around the world, myself included. The festival takes place in Rio, São Paulo, Belo Horizonte, and Brasília. Visit ilovejazz.com.br for more information.